Well, it's good to see you again this morning. If you're new, my name is Derek Van Ruler. I'm the lead pastor here at Sunbury City Church. And each week, it's my joy to open up the Word of God with you. And I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I've been praying for our time together, praying that we would really, in a deep way, encounter Christ this morning. So it's my hope that the Spirit of God would help us to encounter Christ. And that's what we're trying to do each and every single week. If you're a regular, you see things a little bit different behind us, and maybe some things in church are kind of changing at different times. And I just want to be clear that we're doing all of that with the hope that we would see and savor Jesus Christ more and more. That's why we want to make sure that we do everything with excellence. Not because we think that God accepts us for that, but because we want to honor the Lord, and we want to do it with a kind of excellence that pushes other people to Jesus Christ. And we want Him to be treasured, and we want others to treasure Him as well, both inside the church and outside. And I went away. Hello. Okay, let's try that again. No, but what we're trying to do here is we want to use everything that we have and leverage it so people can see and know Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing all of the things that we do here. That's why we don't have a lot of programs, but we really talk about how to live for Christ in all of life, because we want each of us to know who Jesus is and how we can live every single second of our lives for Christ. And so that's why we talk a lot about missional communities. That's why we talk a lot about trying to be out involved in our community. We're going to talk more about that over the next number of months, but I want us to really buy into that. I want us to really see our life as something used for Jesus in every single way. Because just imagine if we as a church did that. If we put our yes down, we put all of our chips in, and we began to love people the way Christ loved us. Now imagine what kind of city Sunbury would be. I believe Sunbury would no longer be the butt of jokes, but rather the light to the entire valley, where our neighbors and our coworkers would begin to love Jesus because we love Jesus and we want them to know who Jesus is. I believe we would be a kind of city where those addicted to drugs and those in homosexual or in sexual immorality kind of relationships would begin to see that and see Jesus Christ. That those who here in the city who are in need would get those needs met. Those who are here needing change would begin to experience change in Jesus Christ, because we too are experiencing a change from Jesus Christ. That's what I'm hoping God does in and through us. That's what I'm hoping happens in our city, that we would see and know Jesus Christ, that our friends would know Him deeply. That's why we're here. That's why we get together each and every week. And so I want to invite you into that even deeper. Like I said, we'll talk more about that, but I want to invite you even deeper into that as we push forward. But if we're honest, we can easily get caught up in those kind of visions of seeing God do amazing things, right? We can kind of say, yes, I want to do that. I want to be where God is. And I want to be used by God in incredible ways. And we can love that. We can love the picture that people paint, and yet we can also hate when reality happens, right? And we love the vision, but when we start to go after that and life gets hard and the road is tough, we can begin to push back and hate that, right? Because we all love the road of least resistance. I mean, that's what I like. I like the road of least resistance. We all want things to be wonderful and blissful. You know, the kind of things that happen only in sitcoms, right? How many of you remember watching Home Improvement? Okay, I love that show. Probably seen every episode 5-6 times. Can quote it. It's just wonderful. But every single episode pretty much followed the same line, right? The show would start with a laugh or something that was funny, and inevitably Tim would do something that would mess everything up. Then he'd go outside, he'd talk to his neighbor, and Wilson had some sort of nugget that Tim messed up but still somehow figured out how to apply to his life. And he'd go in and he would talk to Jill, and they'd make up, and Jill would just act like everything was right. That like nothing ever happened. And your 30 minutes is up. And you're done. And that show followed the pattern. And although the show had a problem where Tim would mess up, what often happened is they would wrap it up in a nice, neat little bow. And it's those kind of shows that have trained us and have taught us that that's the way life should be. That, yeah, we may hit a few problems, but ultimately, life should be wrapped up with a nice little bow on top, and within 30 minutes, all of our problems should be gone. Within 30 minutes, my wife should understand, and we should be okay with one another. And when that doesn't happen, we immediately want to give up, move on to something that is easier, because we believe that's the way life should be. We believe that's how life is, and that's just not true for us, especially for us in the Christian faith. Because the commands of Jesus Christ at time are hard. When we're trying to follow Christ, that we can hit trials and be so easy for us to give up. And we start to believe in that moment, start to believe the lies that it's not worth it, that we should not be treated this way. And we start to cry out, God, why aren't you doing anything about this? I don't know if that's happened to you, but recently that's happened to me. God, why aren't you stepping in? Why aren't you doing anything about this? Because when I look on Facebook, when I look on TV, when I look in the magazine, everything seems so nice and easy. And this road of Christianity at times doesn't feel easy and doesn't feel worth it. And so we can't understand why God would want us to go through something so uncomfortable. As we jump into today, into our section, we're going to see Jesus talk about how the Christian life really is uncomfortable. We're going to see some things that God is doing inside of us through that. But we're going to see that the Christian life is uncomfortable. And so as we jump into Matthew 13 today, we're going to see that the kingdom of God is a rough road resulting in glory. So there is something to shoot for, but in the meantime, the Christian life is often a rough road. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be in verses 24 to 30 and then 36 to 43. There's a parable that is talked about, and then the parable that's talked about, and then Jesus goes on to explain that parable. And so again, we're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30 and then 36 to 43. And if you will, let's stand in honor of reading of God's word. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do what you want us to go. But then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. Skip down to verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are those are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Let me pray. Father, we ask that you prepare our hearts to hear your word. We ask that you would open our minds, open our hearts to receive what you have to say. Holy Spirit, do a work in us this morning. In your name, amen. You may be seated. So as we're coming to this, it's kind of shocking, right? It's not what we'd expect Jesus to say about the kingdom of heaven. I mean, just think about the metaphor he uses and detach it from everything else. So he talks about weeds. I don't know about you. I don't even like weeds in my backyard. So if I see a weed pop up, I'm out there right away plucking it out, or I've got my 5-gallon jug of weed killer spraying everything. I hate weeds. There's no way in my mind that I would allow a weed to continue in my backyard. And Jesus just said that he lets weeds, not those leafy, ugly things, but he lets weeds, people who do not follow him and actually are against him, he allows them to grow and engage the wheat around them. He allows them to grow and engage those who follow Christ around them. That's a hard pill to swallow, right? It's hard to swallow because we don't like that Jesus does that. We'd rather him just pluck those kind of people out of our church, out of our life, out of whatever it might be. And the one, I believe there's at least one reason why Jesus doesn't do that. There's multiple, but at least one primary reason that he doesn't do that, because Jesus desires that all weeds eventually become wheat. For us, we would like those who cause trouble in our life to just be plucked up. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to leave them in your life because I want them to become sons and daughters of him. So he leaves them there. He wants them. And it's physically, just as it's physically impossible for a literal weed to become wheat, it's also physically impossible for someone who does not know Jesus Christ to come and know Jesus Christ. It's physically impossible, but it's not spiritually impossible. It's not spiritually impossible. We can't do it, but as we saw last week in our passage, God can do it. God can open hearts. And so if you're in here today and you're not a Christian, I'm so glad that you're here. We always want our doors open and welcoming to those who do not yet believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm excited that you're here, but I want to tell you the best possible way I can, and that is to say that according to this passage, you're a weed. I want to call you this morning and invite you to become wheat, to realize your weediness, to realize how you're not trusting in Jesus, and to come and trust in Jesus and seek forgiveness in him alone who can give new life. I want to call you to that. As we jump into this passage, there's going to be some things that feel harsh. But I want to have that invite in the back of your mind where Jesus is calling you and inviting you in to this relationship with him. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to say a few things that help us to really understand the reality of the kingdom and how it's difficult. And yet he's also going to encourage us to press on. And so to see that, we're going to look this morning at the weeds of the kingdom. We're going to look at the wheat of the kingdom. And then we're going to look at the when of the kingdom. So let's look at the weeds of the kingdom. There's a couple of things that we need to know about the weeds of the kingdom that of God that honestly, when we look at it, we need to know these things so we won't be shocked, because we're often shocked, right, to find weeds or a weed kind of person in the church. In our church, we're often shocked when people act ways that are of Christ. You know, those inside the church who are followers of Christ should be growing and acting more like Christ. And yet there should be people in our church who are not followers of Christ yet, and they're going to act that way. We want that. If you're here, we want that. And so let's look at this. And there's a couple things we see. And the first thing that we see is that weeds are real. Weeds are real. Look with me at verses 25 and 26. Jesus tells us a parable about planting seeds and weeds. Now remember, a parable is a short story using modern examples to connect a deeper truth to us. And so he starts with another parable here about a man who sowed good seed in a field. Now, we don't know the kind of seed that it is, but we just know and assume that this seed should produce fruit. There's nothing toxic in this seed. And so this guy's out there, he's sowing his seed, and he finishes his field, and so he goes in to rest. And while he's sleeping and resting, another person goes out into the field and sows weeds in the field. Look down at verses 38 and 39. Jesus goes on to explain what's happening here, and as he does so, he says that the weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy is the devil himself. And so what we have here is that the kingdom of heaven is both now and not yet. When Jesus came, he brought his kingdom to the earth, but it's not fully here yet. We're kind of in this middle period where his kingdom's here, and yet when we die and spend eternity with God, then his kingdom will be fully present. And in this middle time, the devil has in fact come and sowed seeds that turn into weeds within the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, just let them be until my kingdom comes in its fullness. It's important for us to grasp this, right? It's important for us because Jesus just said a couple of things. He said that the enemy, the devil, is real. He said that the devil is real. Not only is he real, but he's able to place people who follow him rather than Jesus. He's able to place people like that in the midst of the kingdom of God. And so he's saying this is real, and Satan really is working, and that there really are people in the kingdom of God here today in the world all around us that are not followers of Jesus. And they're actually working against God's kingdom. They're working against us. And it's important because it's not what we'd expect in God's kingdom, right? And yet it explains oftentimes why we experience present difficulty and why the kingdom of God can be discouraging, right? Why it can be difficult and daunting. It explains that because Jesus is allowing the enemy to work. Now that's hard to fathom, right? Because we often think that the kingdom should be easy and without trials. And so when life gets hard, we want to do what the workers did in verse 28. They come to the master and they say, do you want us to pluck it out? Do you want us to gather them and get rid of them? And Jesus is warning us, don't be shocked or surprised when you face opposition and when you find weeds and the sons of the evil one in the kingdom. I've allowed it to happen. Your enemy is real. Do not be surprised by that, and do not bail on God in the midst of that. You know, oftentimes I've heard in the course of my ministry last 10 years, I've heard well-intentioned people come and say, don't you think we should only do what is natural or comfortable for us? You know, we shouldn't challenge people to go outside of their comfort zone. And lately, I've been reminded and have just been responding to that by saying the Christian life isn't one of comfort, but the Christian life is one of taking up our cross. Because Jesus was not too comfortable as he hung on the cross for you and I. The weeds are in the kingdom. They're there for a purpose. And so we need to not be surprised or want the easy road instead. The second thing that we see is that weeds look real. Look at verses 24 to 26. What does Jesus say here? He says that the seed is sown and the weeds are then sown. But notice something here. Notice that no one realized what happened until the grain started producing fruit. No one realized what was going on because the stalks that were growing looked the same and you could not tell the difference. So right now in my backyard, I planted new grass this summer. I've got weeds that pop up. And every time I mow my lawn, the grass looks wonderful, right? Everything looks good. And a couple of days, maybe a week later, get a bunch of rain, and all of a sudden I start seeing dandelions pop up, start to see weeds pop up. So everything at one point looks like real grass, and then the next minute it produces dandelions, and it doesn't look real. It produces false fruit, and that's what's happening here. The weeds of the kingdom, the sons of Satan, if you will, look like the sons of Jesus for a while. They look like the same thing until one day the sons of Jesus start producing fruit. They produce fruit in line with the life of Christ, and the sons of Satan do not produce good fruit. Instead, they actually produce opposite of good fruit. That's important for us. That's important for us because inside the church, it could even be here, inside the church at Universal, there are people who look like the real deal. They look like they're following Christ. They sound like they're following Christ. Everything in their life looks like the real deal. And then pretty soon, they start producing fruit that shows that they're actually a weed. And according to Jesus, he has allowed this to happen. But the dangerous part about it is that the weeds can actually deceive and entangle the wheat. Look at verse 29. Jesus tells them, "Don't gather the weeds because you're going to root up the wheat." With it. He says, don't do that because you may pull up the wheat. He's saying that the weeds, those who are actually against God, can entangle themselves around those of us who follow Jesus Christ, and they'll wrap themselves around us. This is what Paul warns us about in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, right? He warns us that there will be false teachers and false prophets who are going to come in and teach things that do not line up with the Bible's teaching, and they're going to be arrogant, they're going to cause division, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, they're going to be the kind of teacher that suits your own passions. They're going to be the kind of teacher that speaks in such a way that you like, and in reality, they're actually just leading you astray and deceiving you. They're trying to entangle us. Now, if we're honest, that's not the kind of message that we like to hear, right? That's heavy, that's harsh, it even feels condemning at times. And again, Jesus is saying this to forewarn those of us who are followers of Jesus that we need to be not we we must not be surprised by the trials of following him. And he's saying this to encourage us to press on and to help us to see and be prepared to resist the schemes of the devil. And if you are a weed here today, if you're not quite a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe Jesus is saying this to help you to become aware of who you are, who he is, and he's inviting you into a relationship with him so that you love and follow Jesus Christ. But that's not all that Jesus talks about. So let's turn and look at the wheat of the kingdom. And when we look there, we see a couple things as well. We see real wheat withstand weeds. The real wheat will actually withstand weeds, because that's what we see in our passage here, right? He's saying if you're a follower of Christ, you will in fact withstand the trials and the choking out of your desire and your drive for Jesus that the weeds are trying to do. Notice that at the end of time, the wheat will actually be separated from the weeds because the wheat actually stays wheat. As we saw last week, that's a great comfort, right? Because in the world, it's hard to live for Jesus. And yet if we have that hope that in the end, the wheat will be taken out, that's helpful for us to keep pressing on. It gives us great comfort to keep pressing on. And it's something that we need to grasp. Because unfortunately, weeds will try to look like wheat and convince you of things that sound godly but are not. I've used this analogy before, but I'll say it again. You know, there's the analogy of just being 1 degree off. When you start at 1 degree, at the very tip, it looks exactly the same, right? It looks exactly the same. Both lines look like they're at the exact same point. There's no difference between the lines. But if you follow that out, if you follow that thousands of miles, you'll end up in Russia rather than South Africa, right? You'll just end up in completely different places. And there are people who look like they're on target, but aren't, because they're actually weeds in the kingdom. And Jesus is reassuring us that if we follow Christ, we will be able to withstand and stay with Christ. It's not easy, but by his power and his protection, we will be protected for all of eternity. That should give us great relief, right? Should allow us to sleep at night. Now, with this, there are a couple of characteristics that we see from the passage and the rest of the Bible about being wheat in the midst of weeds that I think are helpful for us. And so we'll look at three of them. And the first is that God knows the wheat is there and yet will not take it out. I know that's a mouthful, but I think you get my point. That God knows that the wheat is there, but he's not taking it out. Look with me at verses 26 to 27 again. They want to come and they want to pull out the wheat, and the master knows that it's there and says, no, just leave them there. He's well aware of it. He doesn't look down at our lives and say, well, I'm really surprised that you're struggling right now with that person or that situation. He's not looking down at my life and thinking, oh, Derek, what happened? I didn't realize that was going on. I didn't realize that your life inside my kingdom was so difficult or you're experiencing struggles. He knows it's happening, and yet he doesn't take us out. That's hard, isn't it? Why won't he just take us out? Why won't he just allow us to be taken out of this struggle? Because he wants us to grow in our sanctification. Now that's a big word. It just means he wants us to grow more and more like Christ. And the way that happens is through trials and through heartaches. By having us go through difficult things and teaching us to trust in Jesus and begin to live and act the way that he wants us to. You know the saying that we hear all the time, that you'll never be given more than what you can handle. That's not true. If you can handle it, you don't need God. For God to be loving, He will give us more than what we can handle. Because in that moment, it causes us to drop to our knees, plead to Him, and ask Him for help. So we would be changed and become more like God. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 that the trials are used to test our faith and to see where we're actually placing our hope. Let's be honest, I know most of us would say that our hope is in God alone, and yet when trials hit, when things are hard, how do we respond? In that moment, it shows what we're actually trusting in rather than God. We may have the words right, but our heart is far from the Lord when the trial hits. And that's to reveal what's actually in our heart so that our faith can be made real and we can be found to the glory of God. He uses these trials to refine us, to make us more like Christ. Second, God wants us to share the gospel through the trials. These trials are meant for a purpose so that through our faith, others who do not know Jesus may see how we respond and come to know Jesus Christ. I hope you know by now that to follow Jesus, we are meant to represent Jesus to the world. We are meant to be around those who do not yet know Jesus and represent Him to the world. And you might be sitting there saying, well, I don't really know many non-Christians. I just want to encourage you to push yourself out there, to get involved and be around people who don't know Jesus. Frequent restaurants. Go to the same restaurant. Get to know the waiter, waitress. Go to your neighbors and get to know them, or volunteer in a school, or volunteer with the city workers. Or here's one that's really kind of easy. Go to the same checkout stand at the grocery store. And talk with that person. Actually get to know them. Actually care about them. Get to know their name. Get to know their life. Love them. And the next time you go to the grocery store, think, when did they work last time? I'm going to go to the store the same time this week and get to know them as well. Care for people. Be around them. But what we see here and what we see in the Bible is that when we face trials, when the enemy is trying to hurt us, those trials are actually used for us to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, there's a verse if you've been in church at all, you really love, but unfortunately often gets taken out of place. Peter says in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, always be ready to give an account for the hope that you have. And we love that, but we don't realize that chapter 3 is all about the struggle of following Jesus Christ, and that the way in which we give hope, the way in which we give an account for the hope that we have, is when things hit the fan and our lives are messy and everybody is watching us, how we handle the pressure. And we handle it in a Christ-like way. People begin to ask, how did you do that? What happened? They begin to say, well, how do you have hope in the midst of that trial? And we're able to point people back to Jesus Christ in the midst of the trial. Third, God gives us the power to withstand the weeds and our enemy. I'm just going to be honest here. It's the hardest part. What we're talking about here is that weeds are people, right? This is hard. If you're a follower of Christ and you're in the kingdom of God, the hardest part is the fact that weeds are actually humans. They're actually people. They're people in our lives. Some of them, which I believe is probably most of it, some of them, though, are the ones that are just in your face, anti-God, against God. And it's easier for us to talk about them, right? It's easier for us to just be, yeah, they're a weed. But there's also the kind of person who's in our life who is not living for Jesus Christ. that's also a weed. And here's the reality. Anyone who's not living for Jesus Christ is living for something else. And so the advice that they give you, the counsel they give you, whatever they do with you, if we're honest, they're actually pointing and leading us away from Jesus. Doesn't mean that we ditch them or that we treat them horribly or that we just act like they have the plague, but the reality is they're living for a different set of values and not for God. And so their influence is not going to be pushing you towards Jesus. And I realize that that can be on varying levels, but what we need to realize is that in the midst of that, God has actually given us the power to withstand their influence on their lives. We don't have to give in to that. Even with those who are directly opposed to us, we don't have to give in to that, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 13, he says that no temptation has come upon us except what is common to man. That what we're experiencing, the trial and the temptation we're experiencing, is common to all, and yet God gives us a way out. He provides for us a way out so that we do not fall into sin, but rather walk in the ways of God. So we've got this great encouragement from God that no matter the struggle, no matter the trial, no matter the temptation to cave in and to give up, He will give us power to withstand so that we can endure and we can persevere through that trial. What a great encouragement, right? What a great encouragement, because you might be like me who struggles with discouragement when you're working in the kingdom of God and you're hitting up against enemies and you're hitting up against Satan working. And Jesus says, I am with you and I have given you power to withstand. I've given you power to push back. He knows what we're going through, and He's making something beautiful out of us through that time. The kingdom might be rougher than what we think, but He is with us, and He's calling us to share the truth of Him to those around us. He's calling us to follow Him and trust in Him and become more like Him. That's quite an encouragement, because even through the dark times, He is using it for our good. He is using those trials to produce something beautiful in us. But it doesn't stop there. So let's turn and look at our last point, which is the win of the kingdom. This is where I'd say, if you're a follower of Christ, we actually get the greatest amount of encouragement from our passage today. And so to see this, we're just going to look at three simple truths. And the first is that God knows the difference between the weeds and the wheat. Look at me at verses 41 to 42. Jesus is talking about the Son of Man, which is Him, and He says that He will send His angels and they will gather the lawbreakers. All those who are not yet Christians, He will gather them from among the righteous, among those who've been declared right before God because of their belief and trust in God. Jesus is saying that the angels, they will gather those who are against God. They will know the difference at the end of history, and they'll gather them away from those who are truly Christians. He's not going to make a mistake, right? He's not willy-nilly just picking people to spend eternity with Him. But if you're a Christian, we can see even in that the hope that God has, and God will protect us until the end. God will keep us for all of eternity because He's not going to mistake us for a weed. Because He's not randomly taking people, but rather He's only taking those who follow Him. And so we don't have to sit here and wonder if we're really going to spend an eternity with God. We can know for sure that if we believe in Him, that's where we're going. You can say, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved. I'm rescued by Jesus Christ. And I'll spend an eternity with Him. That's quite a relief, isn't it? And then we see that God will judge the weed. Look again at verses 41 to 42. Jesus says that God will take every lawbreaker and all causes of sin out and throw them into a fiery furnace. He's going to put them in the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they're going to be in hell forever. A place of torment, a place of separation from God because of the evil that has been done. And if we are honest and we listen to that, that should create in us a great joy and a great amount of fear if we actually understand what Jesus just said. Think about it. He just said, there will be a place where people go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and great torment forever. That should create joy, and that should create fear. You might be thinking, how would that create joy? Well, think about this. Think about what Jesus is saying. He's saying all of the wicked people who have mercilessly hurt others, who don't care about others whatsoever, and who seem to be getting away with it, God in fact sees it, and they will have a day of judgment. God sees it. So we don't have to wonder any longer, why does God allow evil, or why is He doing nothing about the evil that is happening? God, in fact, will do something about the evil. He's going to bring all of that evil and put it in a place of torment where He judges it forever and ever and ever. Isn't that good news? That's incredibly good news, because the worst of the worst in this world, God cares about that evil and says, that's not okay. And He judges that. And yet, that should be scary for us, right? Because if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest before God with ourselves, we are all lawbreakers. It's easy for us to get excited that Jesus will take the Hitlers and Stalins of the world and place them in hell if they did not repent, if they did not turn to Jesus Christ. It's easy for us to sit back and say, that is awesome, that's good, well done, God. But He just said, all lawbreakers, every single one of us has broken the law, and that should cause a fear in us. And yet, if we believe in Jesus Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, if we believe in Jesus Christ, he says, God, he made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. And so Jesus came to this world, knew no sin, never disobeyed God, never rebelled against God, was perfect in every aspect. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin. To become sin. So His whole being was sin, was declared guilty against God. And the reason for that is so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. So if we believe in Jesus Christ on the cross, He had no sin and He was given all of our sin. So if we believe in Him and the fact that He died for our sin and rose from the dead, if we trust in that, we have now been made the righteousness of God. We have now become the righteousness of God so we can experience this joyful relationship with God. So it doesn't have to be scary. It should still produce a fear in us. You know, the kind of fear that if you go to like the top of a mountain and you look out, it's kind of a fear, right? There's a fear that if that rock gives way, I'm pummeling down thousands of feet. But there's also a kind of fear that you look out and you're just in awe of what you see. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's what we should have of Jesus. We should have an awe of what he has done on the cross. And so it should not be scary, but it rather should change to a great encouragement for us today. And that leads us to the final thing that we see, and that is God will glorify the wheat. Look at verse 43. Jesus says that the righteous, those who have been made right with God through Jesus Christ, they will shine like the sun. They will be great. They'll be radiating with glory because God has given them great glory. We will reflect the glory of God to everyone else around us because we will shine for him. We will honor him. And as we honor him, he honors us and we honor him again. And we'll be doing that forever and ever and ever in his glorious presence. I don't know what other encouragement is greater than that, to know that in the midst of our trials, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the spiritual warfare you may be experiencing, in the midst of people bashing you, that in the end we will stand and radiate the glory of God forever. This is just a little time. It's hard. It's just a little time. We will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And so as we close today, if you are a weed, won't you become a wheat today? Won't you become wheat today? Just acknowledge the fact that you have weediness that has been put on Jesus Christ, and he died for that, that he rose from the dead to conquer that. Put your trust in him, because you can't change yourself from being a weed to wheat. Only Jesus can. And if you're wheat, let me encourage you. It is difficult to follow Christ. And it's going to become even more difficult to follow Christ. But let me encourage you to lift up your head, to look to Jesus, and to see that he is working all of these things for our good, and that he has the power to help us through our trials. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word again. We thank you for how 2,000 years later, again and again and again and again, it is just the truth that we need to hear. Father, I know that there are many in our church today that are struggling with spiritual warfare. There are many of us who are trying to press on and say we want our yes for you, and yet that feels and is often very, very difficult. We are facing opposition. We are having people say things about us that are hurtful. But Father, would you take these truths and push them deeper and deeper into our hearts, and may you use these trials to produce something beautiful in us, to help us to see what is our hope in what people say or what you have said for all of eternity. Help us lift our heads, Jesus, to you, to see you as more glorious, and to see you as worth the trial, worth the battle, worth the struggle. We pray in your name. Amen.